Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, y'all. Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with the Raiders. Yesterday, Raiders coach John Gruden compared his injured star wide receiver Antonio Brown to Santa Claus.
Waiting for Santa Claus. I've been really excited to coach this man. I think he's a great player, and he's a great competitor. And we need his life in this offense and on this football team. But we'll just cross our fingers, and I'll make no speculation whatsoever. He's got to get it evaluated. He's got to get the information he needs, and when he does, he'll be back.
All right, can't you just picture Gruden in a silver and black pajama onesie, camped by the fireplace with a plate full of chocolate chip cookies, a glass of 2% milk waiting on AB to slide down the chimney. Y'all know the Teddy Van song, Santa Claus is a Black Man?
Yeah.
Santa Claus is a black man. Santa Claus is a black man. And he looks just like AB too.
Man, nobody.
I love Gruden comparing Brown to Santa Claus.
I love it.
Because what Gruden is going to learn this season is that it's a myth Brown contributes to a winning environment.
Ooh.
Can AB help you win? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean he contributes to a winning environment. He's super talented, he's super productive, but a coach, an organization, and teammates have to work overtime to channel AB's activities in a positive direction. That overtime work, babysitting AB's immaturity, detracts from a winning environment. Gruden is learning the lesson Mike Tomlin learned over Brown's 8 seasons as a major contributor in Pittsburgh. The headaches outweigh the return on investment and worry. It took 8 years for Marvin Lewis to figure it out about TJ's boy, Chad Johnson, another highly productive diva receiver. Antonio Brown's relocation to Oakland is going to be quite similar to Johnson's relocation to New England. Bill Belichick realized he made a mistake early. Johnson languished on the bench or on the inactive list for most of his single season in New England, and then Belichick dumped him. Getting out from underneath the Brown mistake will be more difficult for Gruden and the Raiders. Gruden gave Brown a new 3-year contract that includes $30 million in guarantees. Former NFL executive Mike Tannenbaum speculated this morning that if Brown misses this season or a significant portion of it, the Raiders could seek the return of Brown's 2019 salary. Brown's injury isn't football related. His feet suffered frostbite in France while he received chirotherapy without the proper protection. The Raiders have already been burned by Brown. This dude showed up to training camp in a hot air balloon with feet that won't allow him to practice. He then posted a smiling picture of himself showing off his severely damaged feet. It's all a joke to Brown. He's good. He got his money. He doesn't care about training camp or establishing chemistry with quarterback Derek Carr. He's 31 years old, and Gruden and Raiders likely gave him his final monster payday. Somebody needs to tell John Gruden that he's been very naughty since signing that $100 million contract, and the Santa Claus he's waiting to save him is trapped inside the chimney carrying a big bag of coal. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst LeVar Arrington and TJ Husmanzadeh. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Think the Raiders already regret signing AB or trading for AB?
Not at all. You got to think about what he was doing in terms of this frostbite accident. It was in the spirit of football. It was in the spirit of rehabbing. Maybe he went too far, obviously, with the result. But in the spirit, in that moment, in that decision, I think AB was doing something a lot of football players have done. They say get in the cold tub for 10 minutes. Man, I'm really sore though. What if I stay 15? You know, okay, I sit down though 3 times tonight. What if I do a 4th one? Maybe I get better. And sometimes that turns against you and you have a negative consequence. But what's happening with AB right now is really a conversation about likability more so than anything. And I give you an example. my man Andrew Luck, and this is not racial because I know how y'all looking right now. Damn it, here we go, black, white. No, this is about likability. Because I remember when Andrew Luck was playing very well, all of a sudden gets hurt 2015, missed a few weeks with the right shoulder injury, missed the final 7 games with a lacerated kidney and torn abdominal muscle. You know what he did in that offseason? Not get surgery, but go out there and snowboard and tear his shoulder up. Come back banged up, play the whole season, plays well enough, but banged up. Finally gets the surgery, and it was not even a blip on the radar. You want to regret Andrew Luck being the franchise quarterback, making that irresponsible of a decision off the field, not even in the spirit of rehabbing or in the spirit of playing the game of football. So when I see stories like this, and I know I've been guilty of AB, right intentions, but damn, that's the bad consequence. I'm not going to ride too hard.
And Andrew Luck hurt now, too.
And he hurt
again. And he ain't practicing now.
Man.
And he's on the same team that drafted him. AB's on a new team that just gave him new money. You can't tell me they're not disappointed waiting on Santa Claus.
There's no regrets here.
No.
It's training camp. Would they like him out here? They want him out there so he can develop that cohesiveness with Derek Carr. That part there, dude, it's your feet. That's going to heal. He'll be okay in a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks from now. He'll get right out on the field.
You got better information than Gruden. Go ahead.
he was already out there practicing. He just couldn't go. You let that rest for a couple weeks, he's going to be fine. Now, will they regret it? He's not going to statistically, in my opinion, put up the type of stats and production he's had because Derek Carr is not Ben Roethlisberger. Quiet is kept. John Gruden ain't Mike Tomlin.
Uh-oh.
What?
So, now you're touching on the real point.
You're leaving an organization that utilized you the right way. The targets, like Ben is a boxer. He's going to take one to give one. He's going to stand in that pocket and stare down that rush, and I'll take this hit to see if I – Derek Carr ain't doing that. That's the difference. His production is going to drop because he's in a different environment. But regrets? No, he's one of the best receivers in the league. They're not going to regret it at all.
I agree. I don't think they're going to regret it. I think they're on the fence about how they feel about making the decision, but I don't think they'll regret it. And all these things do is serve as reasoning or escapability. Listen, John Gruden and Mayock have not stabilized this franchise yet. It's clear. They're trying to, but they have not done it yet. So if you bring in a guy that can give you high-risk, high-reward situations, which they knew that based off of the conversations, right, with AB, based off of the conversations with other people who have probably been in the Steelers organization, they did their homework. They knew what they were getting. And so they're looking at it from the standpoint, if he performs well, it's worth the money. If he doesn't, things like this that come up, you know, he's trying to rehab, he burns his feet, which it almost looked like it was part freezer burn or, you know, frostbite, or look a little bit like athlete's toe too, right? A little bit of athlete's foot. Yeah. So it wasn't, his feet are going to be fine. Like, this isn't a foot.
Y'all got great information. I've
just seen what feet look like. And those aren't the worst looking feet that I've seen, all right?
Right.
So yeah, he'll be fine. It's an excuse. It's escapability if it doesn't prove out to have these stories.
Look, man, when you give somebody $30 million in new money, you're not expecting him to come in on a hot air balloon and then hop out of there and say, hey, by the way, man, I done burned my feet.
My dog's on fire, dog.
I think he thought he was going to be able to fight through that. I really do. I think he thought he would be able to fight through that the first couple practices and it would start to feel better. Because there's no way you pull that stunt and then say,
it's AD, you do pull that stunt.
Guys, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the problem that I have if he is pulling that stunt with full knowledge that I ain't going to be able to go.
But he actually tried to get out there, and they said, no, you're going to have to stop.
Yeah.
Because I still wouldn't have done it.
He can't come.
Yeah, I agree.
It's on the fence.
It's poor taste.
I get you, and it's a solid point about Andrew Luck.
Very solid, yeah.
But there's no equivalency here. Andrew Luck, what he did was stupid. No question about it. And look, Ben Roethlisberger wrecked on a motorcycle at
yes,
some
he
point.
Did.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've seen people do irresponsible things. But when you own a brand new team and the team that just got rid of you says there's off the field problems and that you're that kind of productive and they even make the move to get rid of you, you need to come here on your best behavior. You need your first impression is your most important impression. And he's gotten off to a bad impression. Their whole offseason's built around him. Everything Gruden's trying to do with the quarterback is built around him. And this guy's unavailable because he wants to do some stuff away from the team. Mm. I'm just sorry. There's
away from the team, but for the team, at least in spirit. Let's just be real about this. Like, let's leave perception alone and get into impact. Because there's been times you've been on a team where you get a late trade in camp, you get a trade during the season, and that guy wasn't there in terms of team building, but he has an impact. Amari Cooper comes to mind for last year with the Cowboys. This is a situation where, look, you spent your hard-earned money on something, you want it. You bought that Ferrari, you're ready to drive it off the lot. But you a little thirsty, bro. Let them get that tent right. Let them get them sounds right. Let them customize that thing. It take 2 weeks to come back.
The whole offseason was for Marcel.
You know what? And sometimes that's for training camp. If it's worth it, and he is worth it. There's not been one negative comment from John Gruden on Hard Knocks or even through the media in terms of his report on AB. He's just excited.
He can't
and
do that, though. He can't. You know he can't do that, Marcellus. He can't. He can't say anything negative about AB at this point. It's too early. That's why I said this is.
There's nothing negative that could be said as far as his performance, his in the locker room, around the guys.
Even if there was something that could come out.
Nothing.
The guy just showed up on a hot air balloon, unable to practice, but that's not negative.
So if he would have took the bus, it was all good?
Dude, if he had called and said, hey, look, my feet are burned up. When I get to camp, there may be a problem.
I got
to
go with
it. You got to go with it.
Could you imagine if Jalen Ramsey showed up with that Brinks truck, got out the Brinks truck, y'all fitting to pay my man some money. And the next day, money got frostburn on his feet.
He thought he was going to be able to give it a go.
He shouldn't have did it if he thought it. Hey, you better know.
You better know.
You get off an air balloon. You better
training know. Camp. He's done this the last few years in Pittsburgh. I'm telling you.
He's done the helicopter ride.
This morning, I thought I was going to get into these 44 size jeans. I thought, but I knew damn well I couldn't. And this man knew damn well when he got out of that hot air balloon, I got some bad news for y'all.
Right.
Now, imagine if you bought them to the show, Whit. Imagine if you bought them jeans and that was the only pair of jeans you bought to the show to wear on the show on stage and you knew they weren't going to fit.
Wow, LeVar, you were surprised.
That's hard on all of us.
You've never heard of vet rules? Like, look, the safety net of this situation, if it does go awry, is I'm a vet. I'm 31 years old.
That's true.
Do I even need this training camp before I even go there?
But with the circumstances surrounding AB and everything that took place and how he departed from Pittsburgh.
Oh, he got to feed into the door.
He don't have to feed
into the new money rule.
You know you got to be smart.
You know the new money rule. When they give you new money, they want you on that practice field.
That's real. That's real.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Whitlock and Wiley joined now by Fox NBA analyst Jim Jackson. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Kevin Durant, who sat down with our good buddy Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports for an exclusive interview. The superstar's first public comment since his departure from Golden State, Durant talked about pretty much everything, including pushing back hard when asked if he blamed the Warriors for his Achilles injury, saying, quote, hell no. How can you blame the Warriors? Hell no. I heard the Warriors pressured me into getting back. Nobody never said a word to me during rehab as I was coming back. It was only me and Director of Sports Medicine and Performance, Rick Celebrini, working out every day. Right when the series started, I targeted game 5. Hell no. It just happened. It's basketball. Basketball happens. Nobody was responsible for it. It was just the game. We just need to move on from that bleep because I'm going to be playing. I'm going to be back playing. All right, question here is, you think KD is trying to avoid conflict with the Warriors or is he keeping it 100?
Oh, I think he's keeping it 100. Why would Mr. Gunsmoke get gun shy all of a sudden with this situation? I know some people will say, well, Achilles injury, something catastrophic like that can really humble you, put you in a different mindset. But I think what happened is his emotions finally subsided. He was able to clearly look at exactly what happened. And he said, let me take responsibility. And that same responsibility is going to fuel him through this rehab process, which is going to be rigorous. And more importantly, it's going to fuel him when he's back on that court instead of taking lateral steps, looking at the Warriors or looking behind him or looking in the rearview mirror saying, they didn't tell me this, they didn't tell me that. Because in reality, no matter what they tell you, you make the ultimate decision as the athlete. So I take it as he's still being 100.
And I take it a step further with that. In today's world where it's easy to blame and place blame, especially with a lot of young guys, it's, well, coach made me do this, or it was the management or my agent. You don't take self-responsibility. And I really think KD set himself up to say, listen, I'm going to work hard to get back. I know this is what you're telling me. If I do A, B, C, and D, I'm able to play in the playoffs in the championship series. I want to get myself back in there. Now, when the injury happened, I'm sure he questioned a little bit. Should he have pulled back? But like you talked about, Marcellus, as time elapsed, he looked back at it and said, it's not their fault. Mm. It was a decision I chose to make. So now I like the fact that he's not placing the blame on the ownership,
right,
on the training staff. He said, no, it was on me. I wanted to come back.
I think that the truth is very fluid. And so I think 6 weeks ago when this first happened, his truth at that time was like, damn, they talked me into this. And then, like most mature people that self-evaluate, mm-hmm, he started realizing, no.
It's on me.
It's on me.
Yep.
And I love it. I respect it. I know there are some people that like question and they go back to what he said in the moment or maybe privately back then. But again, people evolve and people get greater awareness over time. And KD's done that. And the other thing I think is the Warriors, very smartly, and I mocked them at the time, but it was smart. They hit this dude with a lot of love post this deal.
Right.
We building statues. We retiring jerseys. Steph is coming to see you and coming leaving China or whatever to come to see you.
Yep.
They've hit this guy with so much love. How can you not embrace that at some point unless you're just a negative person? And KD's not a negative person, so I believe it.
Yeah, I love how you talk about the evolution. Let's take it on a micro level. Did you study psychology at Ball State?
No.
I don't like it. Because damn it, you damn near nailed the seven stages of grief, which I have here. Shock and disbelief is stage one. Denial, two. Pain, three. Anger's next. Bargaining, depression. Then finally, acceptance and hope. What you saw was when he was walking like this and even Stephanie was trying to get his attention, he was in shock. He couldn't believe this happened to me. And sometimes as an athlete, you think you become greater than the norm, greater than what could happen to anybody. We're all out there playing a sport that is not only fragile to our bodies, mm-hmm, but it's fickle to your game. And I think he's finally evolved to, you know what? I got to accept this, and I got to have hope going forward. I think a lot of times some people say, oh, nah, he's in the stage where he's bargaining, like, they did it. No, I did it. And you go back and forth behind closed doors. But him finally publicly acknowledging what happened, acknowledging his blame and responsibility, tells me that he's looking forward in the right way.
And this is different, too, because we can compare it a lot to what happened with Kawhi, okay, in regards to his injury, coming back and getting re-injured, and probably the diagnosis that happened within the Spurs wasn't as accurate. Mm-hmm. I remember I played with Chris Webber when he was in Sacramento. They diagnosed his knee as one thing, but it was a deteriorating knee, okay? And he went out and misdiagnosed it. He came back and injured himself more. So what I say right now about Golden State and what I know about the organization is that they took every precaution to make sure that KD understood the logistics of what was going on and that he made the decision that he wanted to make. So I think in that instance, Golden State protected themselves in saying, okay, here's where you're at today. We want to make sure that you make the right decision. If you come back, you come back. If you don't, we get it. Mm. But KD, at the end of the day, and like you talked about the shock and awe, as an athlete, when you get hurt, you never think it's going to happen to you.
Exactly.
You never think, especially something like this where it's season ending, okay? But then as you get a chance to step back and go through the file in your head and say, you know, I put myself in a situation where I really did want to come back, and it's on me.
I guarantee you, whoever's working with him, the Nets staff, the trainers rehabilitating him, you have to be in a positive mindset. He's got a 9-month journey of recovery.
Yeah.
Negativity does him no good. Why not be in a positive place? That's his best course of action to recover to be the Kevin Durant that he's always been. Before we go, let's check in with our social media manager, Darnell. Did we miss anything?
Yes, sir. So Fox and Major League Baseball working together, putting together a cool event coming up next year. If you remember the movie Field of Dreams, the Yankees and the White Sox are going to play a game in the cornfields of Iowa. Check this out.
Hey, is this heaven?
No. It's Iowa.
How cool will it be to see Aaron Judge hitting some bombs in a cornfield?
Man. In a cornfield, this is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. If you remember Field of Dreams, the famous line, if they build it, they will come. And I guarantee you next August, there's going. I don't know how many people are going to be able to come watch, but everybody, I guarantee it'll be sold out and a long list of people trying to get in to see this. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, baseball, once again, is trying to do something to get greater exposure and push an envelope forward. So just to kind of go back in time and have that scene along with Aaron Judge out there, Stanton, L.A. boy, representing. Mm-hmm. I want to see him hit the
ball. I love Kevin Costner, too. In regards to baseball movies, this is one of the best. But think about what hockey did by putting outside during the wintertime, kind of getting a different kind of nostalgia to the game. This is different for baseball. And also, I think it may reel in some younger players, some younger fans that may not understand the history part of it, a Field of Dreams, but now they get a chance to see it up close and personal with something like this.
Yeah, hockey has a winter classic. Now baseball has a summer classic. Whitlock and Wiley, T.J. Houshmandzadeh and LeVar Arrington are back, but T.J.'s actually off screen. Jim Jackson's actually here with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
All right, Whitlock, so your guy Colin Kaepernick posted a video on Twitter and IG showing himself working out, which he claimed he's been doing at 5 a.m. 5 days a week for 3 years straight. The video also included a counter showing or saying he's now been denied work for 889 days. Mm. Meanwhile, another guy who some say are being blackballed, Carmelo Anthony, asked to join Team USA but was denied by USA basketball director Jerry Colangelo, who said Melo would have been a distraction. So I want to ask you guys, who do you feel more sorry for, Cap or Melo?
Marcellus, I'm going to throw this hot potato on your mouth.
You're right. I'm going to catch this one. Oh, it's easy for me. It's Melo. Look, Cap, he lost his opportunity to play, it looks like, obviously. But at least he grabbed a legacy that people respect and support. He became something more than the opportunity he had as just a football player. He became bigger than that in terms of his reputation. Carmelo lost legacy and opportunity when you talk about what's going on right now. No golden parachute for Carmelo. And I blame us. I blame us talking heads who have taken people's attention from the signal because they all caught up in this noise. Football, basketball, sports is a meritocracy. It's supposed to be objectively based on production. And we are boo-booing on a Hall of Famer as he still has the ability to play his sport, whereas Kaepernick was not the same football player as Carmelo. It's amazing. Carmelo is not bankable as he should be in terms of legacy. And certainly he ain't gonna get a chance to go ball again.
We all have decisions that we have to make here, right?
Yeah.
And to come out after everything that has taken place and to say denied work, there's a whole lot of things he could be doing out there working. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of things he could be doing that's connected to exercising and working out. So to put out there denied work, it's almost like you're fishing for sympathy. You're looking and baiting for that support, which that's what you got in the first place. Ride with it. You made the decision to do it, and now you got to live with the consequences of what took place when you did it. Whether right or wrong, whether you support it or you don't put a workout video yourself. It almost, first of all, super disingenuous, first of all. Second of all, like.
Why? Because 5 days a week, 5 a.m?
Right.
That caught me. I like,
come on,
never.
Man.
They never did that. Never did that.
Come on, produced.
That was even when you were
playing. Produced. It's a produced video of showing you. And it's almost.
Who do you feel sorry for?
You know, I don't feel sorry for either one of them, to be honest with you. I don't.
I
feel sorry for him. You know what? I feel sorry for Kaepernick. I changed my mind. The reason why I feel sorry for him is because he thinks that foolishness is going to work. That's why. I feel sorry for him doing that. Denied work.
Get that smoke.
Come on, man.
Listen, let me take a step further. I don't feel sorry for either one, and here's the reason why. My son is here today. Mm. So when he was younger, I said, there's consequences to the decisions you choose to make, good or bad, and you got to live with them. Colin Kaepernick chose one stance. He has to live with the outcome that came with it. Carmelo Anthony had a chance when he went to New York. He could have went to Chicago, okay? That could have changed the trajectory probably of his career, but he chose to get the money, which I don't blame him, okay? That's what you chose to do. So the outcomes later on are consequential on the decisions you chose to make, and you got to live with them. Do I think Carmelo deserves to play? Of course. Do I think Colin deserves to play? Yeah, but I don't feel sorry for him because I think Colin feels in his life he's made a difference, okay? Maybe it's not playing football right now,
right,
but he's made a difference. He's brought awareness. Carmelo has put together a career that I wish I could have put together in regards to the numbers and stats that a lot of people want. But I don't feel sorry for either because, again, the decisions they chose to make, you got to live with those.
I do feel sorry for Colin Kaepernick, and I say this in all sincerity. I think he's lost, and I think he's been led astray by people close to him, and it makes me feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for Carmelo. He made $250 million. I just saw him conduct an interview with Stephen A. Smith where he represented himself very well, showed a self-awareness, a depth of understanding. Carmelo Anthony is disappointing right now that his career is not ending the way that perhaps it should. But I think Carmelo Anthony's going to be fine in every way possible. I think he's man enough to represent himself and to speak for himself and to carry himself in a way that he'll be able to find happiness and a purpose later in life. I agree with LeVar here. When I hear this guy talking about denied work, when there's other football leagues, you can go to Canada if you want a job. You can
play flag.
Yeah, you can, there's a it's whole
bunch. Mike Vick out there.
Yeah, personal out trainer. There. There's any the XFL, the AAF. He allegedly wanted $20 million. This sounds like I used to have a relative, man, loved to sit on the couch at his mama's house, smoking weed. Ain't no jobs. Right. I'm all up in this one ass, mama. Uh-huh. Ain't no jobs out here. I'm like, really?
Listen, before you get into that, because I know it's good, I'm going to say this. We as athletes, you got to understand this. A large percentage of us can't go out the way we want. We want to. We want to exit the game the way we want to, whether that's on top on our own terms. But let's keep it real. It's only a small percentage of athletes that are able to walk away the way they want. And that's the disappointing part on the back end with a lot of guys that have Hall of Fame pedigree. I look at Kobe Bryant as a guy that accomplished so much. But because he was injured the latter part of his career, he couldn't go out the way he wanted.
And you didn't feel sorry for Kobe going out with one leg? Yes, you did.
I didn't feel sorry for him for everything he accomplished.
But you just don't want it to go out that way.
Exactly.
Right? Come on,
I don't want it to go out that
sorry.
Way. I don't feel sorry for
him. It's a no-win-to-say-win type of
mentality. It's a no-win-to-say-win.
You don't want it to turn out that way for somebody like that. Carmelo Anthony, it's unfortunate for him. Carmelo had scored 28 points in his last game for Houston. And then kick rocks.
Oh, I've been there.
From a Hall of Fame.
Hold on, I've been there before.
Brother, I swear, I've been there too. And you know what? If you felt sorry for me, I say you're right.
But let's, let's keep it in perspective.
They did me wrong.
Let's keep it in perspective here, right? Think of the name Mildred Taylor. Right? You throw out the name Mildred Taylor.
Mildred Taylor, the boxer.
The boxer?
The boxer.
Mildred.
Right?
Yeah.
Mildred. Mildred Taylor. All right, so boxing. Olympic gold medal, right? Or Olympic medalist. Boxed, had a brilliant career going, ends up losing a big match that changed the trajectory of his career. Still trying to fight today. Today. Think about Victor Page. Victor Page, guy that had a high trajectory with Allen Iverson, right? Ends up, a couple different things happen. He ended up losing an eye, right? Street deal, right?
Uh-huh.
Still to this day thinks that he can come back and play in the NBA. Us as athletes, we have a warrior's mentality, right? We have this deal where a lot of times we don't know when to say when. I'm looking at Carmelo Anthony and
Kaepernick.
There you go, Colin Kaepernick. And both are in good health. They're in good mind, sound body.
One for sure.
At least, you know.
The other one doesn't talk.
Y'all too tough up here.
All I'm saying is.
This is a Hall of Famer. If we fail to this level, y'all like, oh, too bad. Man, come on, y'all.
All right.
Y'all okay.
Before we go.
That's cold.
Y'all know
I'd like to commend Dolphins receiver Kenny Stills and Dolphins owner Stephen Ross for the respectful way they've handled their disagreement over President Trump. On Wednesday, Steele's questioned Ross's decision to host a fundraiser for the sitting president, tweeting, "You can't have a nonprofit with this mission statement and then open your doors to Trump." Steele's referenced Ross's RISE initiative, which promotes racial equality and improve race relations. Given the mainstream media's onslaught to paint the president as the most destructive man in human history, Steele's question is reasonable and appropriate. So was Ross's reply. In a written statement, Ross said, always have been an active participant in the democratic process. While some prefer to sit outside of the process and criticize, I prefer to engage directly and support the things I deeply care about. I have known Donald Trump for 40 years, and while we agree on some issues, we strongly disagree on many others, and I have never been bashful about expressing my opinions. I have been and will continue to be an outspoken champion of racial equality, inclusion, diversity, public education, and environmental sustainability. Kenny Stills is 27 years old. He left college at age 20, took a job at the NFL, paying him around $600,000 a year, and became a millionaire at age 24. His understanding of the world should not be as nuanced and pragmatic as a 79-year-old self-made billionaire. I have no problem with Stills using social media to question his boss or any authority. Not only is it appropriate, it's healthy. I just hope Stills is willing to listen and engage with Ross and others who disagree with his point of view. I just hope Stills is strong enough and confident enough to choose engagement and dialogue over divisive, counterproductive, and distracting protests during the national anthem. Protests and other forms of civil disobedience are effective tools when your goal is to change unjust laws. When you want an individual or a group of people to understand your point of view on a particular issue, mature dialogue is the solution. Stills is on the right path with his public questioning of Stephen Ross's political support. The silent kneeling gesture is for men and women lacking the backbone and substance to fully engage. More Speak for Yourself after this. Whitlock and Wiley, TJ Houshmandzadeh and LeVar Arrington are back. Let's return to the NFL. Sponsored by Capital One, Venture Card, what's in your wallet? All right, to the Packers, where signs of a rift between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur may already be starting to show. This week, Rodgers publicly dissed the joint practices his new coach decided to hold. But now Pro Football Talk actually says Rodgers' position might not be as secure as everyone thinks, writing, quote, Rodgers continues to be the most powerful employee in the organization, and he's showing everyone who wears the championship belt. They'll let him gloat for now. The moment he shows real signs of slippage, however, the Packers will cut the cord, and Rodgers will be playing for another team just like his predecessor in Green Bay. Talking about Brett Favre, the reason why Pro Football Talk is wrong is because Aaron Rodgers isn't sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre got rid of because Aaron Rodgers was waiting in the wings. Who's waiting in the – who even knows who Green Bay's backup quarterback
is? Deshaun Kizer. You better recognize.
That ain't
happening. Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. We've seen that movie.
Nah, you're right. You're right. Except, I mean, a lot of that was Brett Favre's own doing. I'm coming back. No, I'm not.
That's why they drafted him.
Yeah, right, right. So Brett Favre put himself in that position. But let's talk about this one. Ooh, this is different. What happened to Brett Favre, for different reasons, will happen to Aaron Rodgers. And I tell you why. 2 years ago, the power structure changed in Green Bay upstairs. First time in 25 years. Mark Murphy now has all the responsibility. And guess what? Head coach got a report to me and the GM. First year with that new power structure, new control, guess what he did? Mike McCarthy, come here.
Peace.
Okay, so now who's really the face of this franchise? Who's really running the thing? We all know it's Aaron Rodgers. But you can do that when you're at the top rung of the ladder. And Aaron Rodgers still is, according to the evaluators. They say he's the number one quarterback in our league. But as soon as he takes one rung down, as soon as he slips just enough, do you think that their incentive is to say, no, we're going to ride with this? Or is it now all the people you stepped on the way up is the people you're going to see on the way down? I think they will drag him down. I think they will try to undermine his power. And it's not a Tom Brady situation. Brady's sitting there in New England. No one's hoping for Brady to go away except his birth certificate. He's 42. This situation, because they did it to Brett Favre, they're looking to do it to Aaron Rodgers because he controls so much. He sucks so much of the oxygen out of the organization, and they already undercutting over there. I think he would be next.
If Aaron Rodgers is not Aaron Rodgers moving forward, he out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think LaFleur is doing when he goes to these coaches' meetings and or the meetings with Murphy upstairs in the GM? He's undercutting me, man. I can't even really coach the locker room because he says this and I'm doing that. As soon as he slips, they're going to find a way to get rid of him because the head coach in his first year, for all intents, he's going to be there longer than Aaron Rodgers will be. He's going to be there longer.
Listen.
And he can say that Aaron Rodgers is under. Now, he's going to have to drop 2-3 rungs, not just one. And they don't have a replacement, so they might have to put up with him a couple more years, but he's good as gone.
We just got a great example of it in Pittsburgh. And Le'Veon Bell and then Antonio Brown.
You compare Aaron Rodgers to Le'Veon Bell.
The only difference is he's a quarterback. You get more leeway.
Yeah, but I'm comparing the situation. You got to look at the situation, not the position, the situation. Yes, it's comparable. Why? Because you're talking about a locker room divided. It could be undercutting that's taking place. And even more so if you have an influential figure like Aaron Rodgers who's doing it. So, yes, it's comparable. And you've seen how that's going to play out. If a coach is going to have an opportunity, they'll tell you. A coach will tell you straight out, I want to be able to win the way I'm going to win. And if I'm going to lose and go out, lose my job, I'm going to lose the way that I need to lose. I think that Aaron Rodgers, I don't know that this in particular is strong enough for us to take it down that road. But if it persists, if you keep hearing little pop shots or different quotes that come out from Aaron Rodgers that are directly directed at LaFleur,
I don't like joint practices. The coach says I do. I want an audible. The coach say you ain't. It can't get no worse than that.
Hey, listen, I think a couple things would have to happen. He'd have to come a rung down, and Matt LaFleur better go a couple of rungs up. Because we don't know a damn thing about Matt LaFleur. And so before if the Green Bay doesn't have an owner, and that may contribute to a problem, but if I was an owner or if I was Mark Murphy running the Packers, I need to see a hell of a lot more for Matt LaFleur before I jump ship on Aaron Rodgers.
Doesn't that go hand in hand, though?
How do you see it?
Because if Aaron Rodgers is going down, LaFleur, that means you're going down too. So Aaron Rodgers will, in essence, make LaFleur look better or look bad depending on his performance.
Yeah, I don't see them linked like that. I think this is just the same equation we've all seen, no matter what level the player is. When there's smoke, look, you could be the common denominator, and we'll change all these numerators if you balling out of control.
Sure.
As soon, I mean, I've seen the interest. I've seen it happen to me in a lot of respects. When I was getting it, can you DJ for us? Can you come hang out with the owners?
What happened when you got sore?
When them sacks dipped, man, why you DJ so much? And I was like, wait a minute, y'all just paid me to DJ. So the point is, and I'm not Aaron Rodgers. It happened to Brett Favre in the same organization. I'm telling you, that power structure. Mark Murphy is sitting there like, I know how to get my power back. As soon as you take a dip.
Let's say you're a Packer fan. Who you sign with, Aaron Rodgers or Mark Murphy?
Aaron Rodgers.
Mark Murphy, you said?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers or Mark Murphy. Who you sign with?
Aaron Rodgers.
No question.
And again, so
They'll recover. Franchises and fans always recover.
You got to have somebody in the wings. They will recover, does that recovery take?
It's a blow-up. It's a detonation. We all know that. You're detonating it if you get rid of Aaron Rodgers. And if you're detonating it, then you're saying, we're going to rebuild this. And if you're saying you're going to do it with LaFleur, then you're going to have to get rid of Aaron Rodgers if Aaron Rodgers is indeed the person that the conversations would state him.
And it goes back to what Whit said. You're getting rid of him for LaFleur, who's it's unknown. What can he give you? What can he do? How well is he going to coach? You don't know.
I'll say this. What they could conclude, though, is it doesn't matter who we bring here as coach. If Aaron Rodgers won't get on board with him, we got a problem, so let's get rid of Aaron Rodgers.
There you go.
And keep trying different coaches, and hopefully we'll catch lightning in a bottle in the draft with another quarterback.
That's called putting a bow on it.
All right, Darnell, before we go, we miss anything?
Yes, sir. So another QB grabbing headlines today with his huge debut against Marcellus' Chargers, Kyler Murray. The Arizona media is already calling this the most anticipated debut in the state's history. So do you think there's too much hype around him?
You know what? I'm glad you asked this question because I do.
You do?
I'm concerned about every damn quote that comes out of Arizona. Oh, my God, Kyler Murray's the greatest leader since Patton. And I'm just like, that's great. But let's tone it down and let him drive, his performance drive the hype. I would just tone it down a little bit. That's not me saying Kyler Murray's not going to be great. But, man, they're putting a lot of pressure on this kid.
The problem I have with it, it's a preseason game. Right. Why would it be the most highly anticipated viewing of the rookie as a pre?
It's his first game. That's why.
It's vanilla. Yeah, it's vanilla. Oh, they're not going to show a whole lot. You'll watch it, but to say the most highly anticipated, you got to think it's got to matter.
And this is why he chose the NFL over baseball. In baseball, he'd be in the minor leagues. You wouldn't be talking about Kyler. You go to the NFL, you the talk of the town.
This is great. Preseason game.
But it's Arizona, like. Let them live. Like, what are they going to go back
to? Let them shine a little bit,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah, the Desert Swarm of the 90s, Teddy Bruschi
that
day.
That was a phenomenal football team, by the way.
That was my most anticipated
took
moment.
Took that picture in that convertible car. That was that's legendary.
They forget. They talking about Kyler Murray. I'm like, did y'all forget about what happened there? When they won the Fiesta Bowl.
You got no concerns. They're putting a little too much pressure
on. I'm not into the hype thing, man. I'm just telling you, look. Y'all could talk about me or not talk about me. When I get on that field and I hear that foot hit that ball and I hear them whistles.
Time to go. Get it done.
Y'all can say he's the best, he's the worst. It helps me not.
Uncle Jimmy's here.
You know?
You got any thoughts on the show so far?
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. Let's go ahead and throw this big dummy of the day out, man. My boy disappointed me.
Uh-oh.
Big dummy of the day, to my boy Mark Ellis.
Perfect, yes, yes.
Hey, man, how you gonna tell on yourself in front of everybody and let everybody know you didn't know Santa Claus was black? Now we know you came up in a humble home.
Well, you knew where I grew up. I ain't seen him.
Did you have a chimney?
Hell no. Right. Chimney.
Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Antonio Brown. I love Gruden comparing Brown to Santa Claus because what Gruden is going to learn this season is that it's a myth Brown contributes to a winning environment.
You never heard of vet rules? Like, look, the safety net of this situation, if it does go awry, is I'm a vet. I'm 31 years old.
That's true.
Do I even need this training camp before I even go there?
All right, Uncle Jimmy. As I said, AB doesn't contribute to a winning environment. Your thoughts?
Hey, bro, we got a phrase in Kansas City. It's called miss me with that mess, man. Man, you just sit up here and use John Gruden, Antonio Brown, and winning in the same sentence. Man, if you don't miss me with that mess, man. For real.
What?
Why? Look, man, the Raiders is headed to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Now, y'all explain to me how the hell winning and Vegas go together.
The hockey team.
Look, you go to Vegas for a show. Go and nuts. That's exactly what the Raiders is about to do. Give them a show. Mm. A spectacle. Mm. With an unlimited budget. And they gonna call it, wait, but they gonna call it, do fairy tales come true?
Yeah. Explain.
See, look, man, the Oakland Raiders ain't nothing but a great big old gigantic fairy tale. Okay, you can call Antonio Brown Santa Claus with bad feet if you want to. You can call John Gruden Easter Bunny if you want to. You ever seen a rabbit lay an egg? All right, then. Derek Carr. He the Tooth Fairy.
Why the Tooth Fairy? Why?
Mark my words, I guarantee you by midseason, John Gruden gonna pull his ass out. Midway. Man, midseason, David Carr gonna have so many teeth knocked out, man, gonna look like his tongue's in jail, man. And then that bring me to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's Mark Davis.
The owner.
Owner of the Raiders.
Why you say red nose?
He the one that gave Santa Claus that money. He should be pulling that Antonio Brown around. Your dumb ass the one that gave him that money, you pull him around. That's what you get, dummy. Merry Christmas. That's why your face look like the bottom of Antonio Brown's feet. Spending too much time in the isobaric chamber. didn't put on the right protection.
That's smoke.
Too soon?
Yeah, very too soon. Very too soon.
It's bullseye, but yeah,
very too bullseye, soon. Hell, why don't you have your barber do something with his hair? You and LeBron are keeping the hairline to yourself. I know. It's a black thing. Y'all don't want to share it with the brother, right?
Let me get to my approval rating for AB. He's moved to dumpster fire level.
Oh, come on.
A 39.
Man.
He's not available, so his job performance is down to a 1. I drop his all-time greatness a point. I drop his authenticity 2 points. Shows up in a hot air balloon and ain't ready to work. 39.
All-time greatness suffers because you missed a week of camp.
Yeah.
Because you missed a Hard Knocks episode. Is that what's going on here? Hell no, you don't touch that. But look, you got to be on the field, so job performance does drop. All that said, he knew his dogs were barking. Be authentic, brother.
Our Twitter poll agrees with me.
Wow.
Like 59% or 56% of people agree with me. Man. Dumpster fire for Antonio Brown. Man,
y'all be patient. Did he try to eat it?
Stop it. All right, we'll be back on Monday.
Old hip flexors.
Thanks.
Flexible.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.